Let's pray. Holy Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for the gift of eternal life, the sacrifice that Jesus was willing to make because he loved us so, that he was willing to bear the shame and the cross to gain victory over death and hell. We praise you this morning as we gather. We rejoice in the word that you have already ministered to us and pray that you would continue to minister to us your word, your spirit would move amongst us, that it would bring us to the place that you can use us. Father, I pray for the lost who are here, for those who have not yet given their soul, who have not yet made one 180 degrees. I pray, God, that you would speak today. I pray, Father, for any of us who have made 180 degree turn, who have repented, that you would teach us, sanctify us, help us to draw closer to your heart and your will. And Father, today I pray for the mothers. We thank you, Father, the way you have ordained it to be, that there's one man and one woman, one husband and one wife, that there may be a godly seed. I pray, God, you would anoint my lips. I pray that by the moving of your Holy Spirit, you would teach me what to speak, and that the words would be heard the way you want them heard and not the way I share them. Help me, Father, to be a vessel in your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want to begin by welcoming everyone that's here. There's quite a number of visitors and all of you who are dearly beloved, and we know each other well. It's a joy to gather this morning and has been a great joy and a blessing so far. And I trust that it can continue to be so. So welcome to all of you guests. We are glad that you are here. I'm not sure, song for the mothers and the thoughts have just been very touching. My message this morning is titled, A Mother's Amazing Mission. And it's a message, also a tribute to the mothers. For the mothers, but also for those of us who are married to our children's mother, and for the children. As I was listening to the song, and as I stood back there and I beheld all of you as dear brothers and sisters, and my heart was touched and warmed, and all kinds of thoughts flooded through my mind, and we'll see how the Lord leads us. Pray for me, but it feels like my message the last 30 seconds before I came up here kind of did a flip-flop, and now I'm not sure where to go with this. So we'll put our trust in the Lord, I guess. A mother's amazing mission. Micah asked the question, why did God make only one wife for Adam? He talks about us dealing treacherously with the wife of our youth. And he said, why did God just make one wife? Was it because he had no residue of spirit? Or we would say, was it because he ran out of spirit? He couldn't have created another woman from the rib because he ran out of spirit. No. The reason that he created one wife for Adam was so that there would be a godly seed. That there would be a godly seed. That there would be generation after generation that would continue in the path of righteousness, in the way of holiness. That's why there's one wife for each husband. And that is ultimately the mission that we are on. And especially a mission that mothers are privileged to serve in. A mother's amazing mission. How many of you would be here if it weren't for your mother? Nobody. I don't see any hands. You don't think you'd be here if it weren't for your mother? Of course not. No. Nobody would be here. Your mother carried you near her heart. She brought you to the opportunity for your first breath. She tenderly cared for you in those first days of your life. She fed you. She changed your dirty diapers. She kept you clean and clothed. She rocked you when you were fussy, when you were tired. She laid you to rest. She told you stories. Tucked you to bed. Prayed for you, played with you, kissed your hurts, calmed your heart. What did your mother do for you? As you got older, she listened to your concerns and your fears. When your heart was broken, when you were worried, when you were sad, many of us have grown up now, or at least we're older, and we no longer live with our mother on a daily basis. But it doesn't change how we should respect and honor our mother. Maybe she didn't do everything perfectly for you. Maybe there were things that you would have liked if she would have done different. But she's still your mother, and she deserves your respect. Not because of her looks, not because of her actions or her accomplishments, but just simply because she is your mother. And if for no other reason, you ought to respect her for just simply what she did. Just simply what she did for you. There's 365 days a year. If you were 2.5 years old by the time you were potty trained, and your mother changed your diaper 5 times a day, that means she changed your diaper and cleaned you up at least 4,562 times. Now, that's not the greatest job. I'd say it's worth $10 a piece at least. What do you owe your mother? If you lived with your mother and she cooked meals for you, if you lived with her until you were 21 years old, now you weren't there every day, so I figured that maybe she cooked an average of 2.5 meals a day. And that's not taking into consideration all the cookies that you ate that might have been a meal. She cooked for you 15,330 meals. Now, if it's, you know, a good home-cooked meal's worth $15, $20, what do you owe your mother? That's not taking in consideration all the loads of wash that she did on your behalf, the number of times she cleaned the house so things were decent and in order. She planted the garden. She harvested the things in the garden. She canned them, froze them, made sure there was food on the table. How many countless prayers? How many spankings and corrections did she give you? How many times did she nurture and admonish you in the ways of the Lord, preparing you for the rest of your life? Your mother's not perfect. She probably missed the mark a couple times. But thank your mother for what she did. Thank your mother for what she did. I'd like to, in the message today, look at the amazing mission of motherhood. A word for those of us who are married to our children's mother, and a word to the children. Yes, okay. And I'd like to start by looking at mothers in the broadest sense of the word. There are some of you sisters in the Lord in here that have not had children yet. Some of you may not even have a husband yet. But the scriptures say that the barren, thou that travailest not, for the desolate has more children than she which hath an husband. So I'd like for you all to receive the words of this message, the mission of motherhood, and apply it to your hearts also. So with this message, it's my heart and my desire that you as mothers here would be inspired, would be renewed in your spirit, that your purpose in the kingdom of God, your contribution to the church here, to the church of Jesus Christ, would ring true. You would be reminded of it, and you would be refreshed and renewed of what you are giving is worth so much and so often overlooked, so often taken for granted. Let's just do a quick overview of the mothers in the Bible. Who was the first mother in the Bible? One of the children, tell me. Eve. Very good. Eve was the first mother in the Bible, and her name was Eve because she was the mother of all living. We could think of Noah's son's mother. We don't know her name. But have you considered Noah had a wife? She was a mother. She was a mother that was in quite interesting times. Do you think she was encouraging Noah and encouraging her sons to support her father? Or do you think she was just a little bit unsure about this mission and maybe dragging her feet just a little bit and discouraging her sons to support her father? We don't know. We think of Sarah. Genesis 17, verse 16 says, "And I will bless her and give her a son. Give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." And you can allow your thoughts to continue in Sarah's life. Sarah was a mother to Isaac. How do you think Sarah felt and was and related to the experience of Isaac being sacrificed on the altar? She was a mother, no different than any of you mothers in here. There was not some supernatural something that made her not feel the emotions and the things that would rise up in your heart if God told your husband to take one of your children. In that same story, we read of Hagar, who had a very challenging motherhood. The angels told her, "What would you say if the angel told you that your son will be a wild man and his hand will be against every man? And then you were cast out of the home that you were a part of, and your son was starving and thirsting, and you cast him under the shrubs to die." This was a mother. Rebecca, we could think of all of her two sons and how all of that went. We can think of Jochebed, Moses' mother, a mother whose son they wanted to cast into the waters, drown him. And she preserved him. She did what it took to preserve him and to keep him. And we could think about how intentional was she when she got Moses back, and then she realized that she only had a couple years. I think she taught him a lot in those years. She was on a mission. Think about the impact that her sons had on the world, even today. One mother Hannah was a mother who dearly wanted a child. She prayed fervently and God gave her a child and she gave him back to the Lord. And every year she went to the temple and she brought a new coat for him. She was a mother. She had a mission. She wanted to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. She wanted to give and she loved the Lord so much that she gave her son. And there's many more. We could think of the mother whose son was starving. They were going to have their last meal. And then Elijah showed up. We could think of the mother whose landlord was going to take her sons. And then she went to see the prophet. And her sons went on and on it could go. I'd like to end this with by reading Luke chapter 1 verse 26 to 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. And Mary said, now this was in the context where the angel of Gabriel came to Mary and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women, and told her that she would, actually maybe I should, I'm supposed to start reading in 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come unto thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel of the Lord departed. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. The amazing mission of motherhood. If you were the one that the angel had appeared to and shared this news, that you will be the mother of the long-awaited Savior, how do you think you would feel? Would you see it as a privilege or a drudgery? Have you ever imagined yourself being one of the mothers of the Bible? We can look back in history and somehow feel that these women had great impact in the kingdom of God. Maybe it'd feel special if God told you, you will be a mother of many nations. How does it feel if God touches you and asks you to bear a child, nurture it, and raise it up for him? Is it a privilege or is it a drudgery? And I hope, mothers, that you will see it as a privilege. It's a privilege that you have to be missionaries on a mission of motherhood. And this is a mission that only mothers can fulfill. In fact, it might be one of the more critical mission fields that there is. So it may not be the Savior of the world. Your children, your child may not be the Savior of the world. But God knows you. And it may be that He has chosen you to prepare a son or a daughter to be the Savior or a bearer of the good news to a lost and dying world. In fact, that's His heart. You know, it seems in the day and age we live in and the society around us, there's a push towards having less children, not having as many children. Children are a bother. I can't do what I want to do. I'd rather do this. I'd rather do that. Jesus talked about this when as he was going to the cross, a great company of people followed Him, and the women were wailing and mourning and lamenting. And Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck.'" There's a day coming, Jesus said, where it will be looked up to for women to not have children, for there not to be families. God wants there to be one man and one wife. God's desire is that there's a godly seed, and He has a purpose and a plan for that. And I believe it's something we do well to give heed to. Like so many other things, we are not of the world, but we are in the world. And unless we are intentional, unless we are very focused, we can so easily start shifting away from the true word and from God's heart and slowly be pulled into the way the world thinks because of, well, that's what everybody thinks. So I think I hope that as we consider the amazing mission of motherhood, that all of you mothers will be inspired with motherhood. And then when things get hard, and they are, that we would not have our thoughts be influenced, that we would not believe the lies of the devil that children are a bother. Maybe I'm saying things that never cross your minds. Maybe I'm saying things that are completely unreal. But I don't think so. Because Satan is a liar. He is the father of lies, and he is out to kill and to steal and to destroy. And if he can destroy a mother's vision for her children, if he can destroy the mission of motherhood, he has destroyed many, many souls. And he is intent on doing that. And he can put some lie into your mind and into your heart that makes you believe that whatever you're doing is not all that much, then guess what? He has won a great victory. So don't believe the lies that children are a bother. Don't believe the lies that if you had less children, or then you would be able to somehow have a more fulfilling life. The Lord has called you on a mission field that is greater and has vaster and more far-reaching impact than any other mission field we could go to. I truly believe that. You know, we think about going to missions, packing up, and going far and doing great things. Mothers, you have the opportunity here. It's a great privilege. It is God's plan. It is God's plan for a godly seed to spring forth. How much do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it real in your heart what He has done for you? Allow that reality to lead you, inspire you, and realize that motherhood truly is a mission field. You're teaching your daughters how to love or not love their husbands, if they have a husband in the future. And what you teach your daughter, the way your daughter is nurtured and admonished and led and guided, will impact and affect her future husband's ability to labor in the kingdom of God and to respond to God's call for him. Is that an important mission? You are preparing your daughter. You're teaching her how to love her husband. You teach your sons. As you teach them, as you raise them up, do I have to spank him again? Like, won't he ever learn anything? Is this worth it? It may feel like this is just too much. But remember, you're raising up a man of God. God has a purpose for this soul. It's a mission field. Would it be more glorious to raise John the Baptist? Would it be a greater honor to have Isaac for your son? No, this is the day. This is the time. God has chosen you. It makes a difference. You teach them to sing. You help them memorize scriptures. You fill their hearts and minds and with hymns, and all of those things are preparing them, getting them ready for what God has for them. Are there sacrifices in motherhood? Yes. And probably would have been better if I asked my wife to just preach this message, right? She would understand a bit better, a bit more. For sure there are sacrifices. For sure it's hard, it's difficult, it's challenging. And you get tired. You don't feel well. You feel weak and weary. Being a mother is not for the faint of heart. It really isn't. But it's a privilege and it's an opportunity for you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's your way of giving to the church. It's your way of contributing, of serving in the church. So I would encourage you, when you feel challenged, when you feel weary, when you feel tired, think about the joy that comes afterward, as Jesus did, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. He looked at the joy of having brothers and sisters, of having fellow heirs. He looked at the joy of having dominion over death. The sting, the grave will have no more sting. And it was because of that joy that he endured. And so there's times when we need to think about the joy that is set before us. And we remember why we're doing this. And it helps us through those times. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for Jesus. We're doing it for his sake. One who is called to the ministry, one who is called to the mission field, doesn't or should at least not be doing it for their own glory or for fame or because it's easy. They do it and they commit themselves to serving in whatever capacity God asks them for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The amazing mission of motherhood should not be something that's just a part of the package that comes with getting married. And so you just grind through it. I want to inspire you that being a mother is a calling, is a joy, has a purpose. There's a plan that God has. He wants godly seed He wants godly seed. And this is the perfect plan for that. And you are part of that plan. So it's a mission, and you're the missionary. Have you ever thought of it that way? It's a mission, and you're the missionary. And lest you thought that this message would all be to the mothers, husbands, are you supporting the missionary? How do we as a church support a missionary that send abroad? Husbands, are you supporting the missionary? Are you in touch with her, making sure that all the needs are met? Are you encouraging her and helping with the load? After all, motherhood really isn't a thing without some fatherhood involved. So, sisters, may you be inspired. May you be encouraged. May you rejoice in the call that God has called you to and say with Mary, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." Things may look impossible. I don't know how this is going to work out. I cannot see my way through this. This is the most hopeless thing I have ever faced. But the angel said to her in the paragraph before she said that, he said, "For with God nothing is impossible." And she said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." And may you do that. May you find joy as you do that. And may it be according to the word of God. And now for those of you, those of us who are married to our children's mother, you understand that's your wife. Do your children know that you love their mother? How would they? What are you doing that makes you think that they know you love your mother, the missionary that is ministering to their souls? Do you know where the struggles are on this mission of motherhood? Are you praying for the daily battles of spiritual warfare that are waging on this mission? Remember, the devil is out to kill, to steal, to destroy. We all know that when there's a mission and there's a moving of the Holy Spirit, Satan wants to destroy it. How many missionaries and how many mission bases and people on missions have been divided because Satan, the liar, has come and sowed seeds of doubt and destroyed the word of truth because he did not want souls to be saved. Fathers, are you waging the battle? Do you take time to listen to her? Do you hear her with your heart? Do you hear her heart with your heart? Is she able to share her heart with you? Or do you just hear a couple words and you know immediately what the problem is and you fix her? Or you fix it? What would you appreciate about your wife? What do you appreciate? That if tomorrow she would be gone and your children had no mother, what are the things that you would wish you would have told her, done for her, or done with her? Are there things? It's a sober reality to think about, but I think it's good for us to remember that we are not promised tomorrow. What we want to do, let's do it now. And don't think that your wife knows how much you appreciate that she daily, you know, cares for the children, that she washes the dishes, that she does the laundry, that she makes the beds, that she, whatever all your wife does. Don't think that she knows that you appreciate it. How does she know if you don't tell her? And just because you told her the day you were married or in those first 6 weeks of honeymoon time that she still remembers that, tell her. Maybe you all do a better job of that than I do. Tell her. And if you're not sure if you really appreciate what she does, like if you're not sure she's really doing all that much, how about you send on her on vacation for 10 days? Just pick up the slack. Let her go on vacation. Just do it for 2 days and a night. I think our appreciation for our wives and what they do, the mother of our children, will escalate rapidly. And we will be very grateful to have a woman in the house, to have one who is on the mission of motherhood. Make this your mission. Husbands, in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Know her. Understand her, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Fathers, it is we have a great responsibility. Let's not send someone on the mission field and then just let them go and hope all turns out well. We have a responsibility. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Are you giving your wife due benevolence? Are you being compassionate? Are you being caring? Are you with your wife in all things? Or are you bitter against her? Are there things that bug you? Are there things that frustrate you? It says in Colossians 3, 19, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And also don't provoke your children to anger. If you're just rassing your children and provoking them to anger, what does that do to their mother? Is that helpful for the mission? No. Husbands, this is in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be a holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Don't we kind of like ourselves? We like when things are comfortable. We kind of like, you know, even when our wife makes the coffee and when we can just relax. Like, it feels special. It feels good. Do we love her as we love ourselves? It says that we ought to. And it says that if he that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man has ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So, dwell with her according to knowledge. Don't deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. Show her due benevolence. Don't be bitter. Nourish and cherish and give her the support that she needs. Some practical tips, some practical thoughts of how to support our children's mother. Pray. Pray continually. Remember, the battle is real for the souls of our children. And our wives, their mother is on the front line every day. Let's be praying. This is not a physical battle that goes on. This is a spiritual warfare that we are dealing with. Don't be critical about things that aren't done, things that just don't happen, but help. You know, maybe the garden's a bit weedy, maybe the kitchen wasn't swept yet, maybe there's still dirty dishes and things don't look as decently and in order as what Reuben talked about this morning. Then let's not be critical, but let's remember what our wife has done, how she is the missionary to our children, the mission of motherhood is her calling, and how she is laboring in that. Be patient. Say the words. You love her? Say it. You appreciate how she's doing something? Say it. You're glad she's your wife? Say it. Tell her. Seek for ways to support and help. Make special times to show your love for her. Maybe you could change a couple diapers. Don't be shy from helping with the less pleasant work. And remember, it's the little things that you do daily, not these big fancy vacations. It's the little things that add up and that keep our wives encouraged in their calling. If you have ever been called to a mission work, or if you have been called to serve in the church at any capacity, and your wife has supported you, you know how much that means. You know how helpful that is when you know your wife is praying, when you know that she cares. Do the same. Sons and daughters, God has some very important direction for you concerning how to relate to your mother. So, could I have all the children that are 12 and under stand up? If you're 12 and under, stand up. Okay. Now, can you all look at your mother and smile to her? She's your mother, and you are to respect her. Okay? Now you may sit down, and I would like to have those who are 13 and older that are still living at home to stand up. If you're 13 and older and you're living at home, can you stand up? All right, can you look at your mother and smile to her? Now, when you're at home, maybe you can tell her thank you for being your mother. Okay, you may sit. Thank you. So, the smaller children, do you know what the best way is for you to show your mother that you love her? Maybe I need you to get stand up again. Children who are 12 and under, stand up again. Now I can see you. Do you know the best way to show your mother that you love her and that you're glad she is your mother? Does anybody have an idea? Tell her you love her. That's a good idea. But what if you tell her I love you, but then you disobey her? It's good to tell you, your mother that you love her, but I believe the best way you can show your mother that you love her and that you're glad she is your mother is to obey her. If she says come, you will come. If she says no, you won't do it. And you won't go, but mom, I want, but they may, I don't want to do it now. No, the best way you can show your mother that you love her and that you're glad that she's your mother is to obey right away, right away, right away, quickly. You obey your mother, all right? Let's try that. This week, you see how quickly you can obey your mother. You know what I think is going to happen? You're going to be surprised. It's going to feel like your mother really loves you because you're going to come so quickly. And your mother's going to say, oh, thank you for obeying so quickly. All right, you may be seated. Now for you older ones, it's equally important that you obey. Hopefully you've learned it by the time you're 13 to quickly obey your parents. But your parents are guiding you, and they want to help you form habits. And so your brains are developing. If you're 13, 14, 15, 16, you have some pretty good ideas. Might even be better than mom's idea, might even be better than dad's idea. But how you communicate those ideas and the way you respect your parents, there's a right way to do that. And I would encourage you, youth, that these habits that you're developing and the way that you allow your parents, the way that you're open to your parents in the way those habits develop is going to be your default It's going to be the habit you need to battle against, if it's a bad one, when you relate to your spouse in the future. If you have a habit of always grouching whenever your mother asks you to do something, well, young men, you'll probably kind of have that tendency when you're a husband to say, oh, whatever, I'll do it sometime, you know, and then you forget about it. If you have a habit of promptly doing it for your mother and cheerfully doing it for your mother, that'll probably be your default. Girls, if you aren't able to submit your ideas and obey your parents, even if it doesn't really make sense and you think it's kind of silly, doesn't seem all that important, but if you learn how to do that, then that'll be your default when you are under your husband. And it'll be much easier for you to say, sure, doesn't make sense, don't understand, but I'm going to do it cheerfully. Okay, let's read some scriptures for the children. This one is quite strong. And it made me very grateful and thankful that there is such a thing as 180 degrees, that we can repent. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 tells us what we are to do if there's a rebellious son or daughter. Or this is what happened in the days of Moses. This is what God told Moses to write. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son and daughter would be equal, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto him, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him. All right, so can you imagine that? Let's say one of my sons is rebellious and we need to lay hold of him. That means to take him by the arms or physically drag him or whatever it takes and bring him unto the elders of his city, unto the gate of his place. That means to bring him to those who are in authority, to the place where the public gathers. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is rebellious and stubborn. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of this city, of his city, shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away the evil from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. Rebellion and stubbornness was not tolerated. And I think there's maybe some things for us to learn in a principle as a church. Some proverbs. Promises and blessings. Of blessings when we follow these things. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace on thy head and chains about thy neck. The instructions and the teachings of your mother. My son, keep thou thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. So the things that your parents want to teach you, children, the things that your mother is teaching you of how to obey, how to be orderly, the scripture verses, all of these things, keep them close to you. Grab it up, gobble it up, make it be part of you, because it says that when you go, it shall lead you. Those things will help you later in life. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. So the things that your mother and your father are teaching you, if you keep them close, if you really learn them, they will speak to you. When you're in trouble, when you're afraid, those things will come back to your mind and you will remember them. It says, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, and reproofs and instruction are the way of life. Maybe for you older ones, maybe you don't like when dad says, I don't really want you to go there. I don't really want you to wear that. I don't really want you to... Reproofs, things that go against your flesh, go against your grain, they're corrections. It says that they are the way of life. So if we want the way of life, we need to hear the reproofs of our parents. A wise man maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. If you want your father to be glad, then be wise. Don't despise your mother, for that is to be a foolish man. Hearken unto the father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not, and also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Those are the things for you to pursue. Buy the truth, sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy in him. Sons and daughters, when you walk wisely, when you do righteously, it will make your parents glad, and they will be able to have joy in you. Thy father and mother shall be glad, and she that bear thee shall rejoice. So children, this is your part. Make your mother glad. Give your mother joy. Be wise and obey her. And then in Colossians 3 verse 20 is a verse that I think all of the children know and all of us have heard many times. Children, obey your parents. How many of you know what it means to obey? Obey means to comply with commands. It means to do the things that we're told. It means to submit to a direction and the control of. That means to obey. Whatever we're told to do, we do it. Now, do we understand all things? All things. Children, obey your parents in all things. Not just when you feel like it, not just when you want to, but in all things. Picking up the toys, washing the dishes, sitting quietly, whatever it may be, all things. You are to obey your parents in all things. So, in closing, when children obey their mother and their mother can rejoice. What happens when your mother is happy? When your mother has joy? What happens in your house when mother is joyful? When men love their wives, ask themselves what happens. When us fathers lay down our selfish want, our self, and we love our wives as ourself, giving her what we would desire to have, what happens? When a mother has a vision, when they clearly see this mission of motherhood, they see the outcome, they see the possibility of generations and their influence, how they are preparing, how they are making disciples and preparing souls to serve in the kingdom of God. What happens? What happens when they said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord," and their mission is to serve these little ones that God has called them to, preparing them for their calling? There will be godly seed when we all do those things. When children obey their parents, when husbands love their wives as themselves, and when mothers find it a privilege and a joy to be mothers and to nurture their children, the kingdom of God can grow. And that's my prayer and my hope, that we are encouraged and inspired today, each in our own way, to get a renewed vision for the mission of our families. May God bless.